Okay, today is December 12, 2012, and today is the group call. So as I was saying, the marketing program that we talked about on the last group call from Stephanie, we've developed a little flyer and we've sent out a sample of it. You are going to be able to actually print this flyer locally because of the fact that the information changes so quickly for the different facilities that you're going to be marketing to. I'm going to allow you guys to print this locally with some parameters on how it's going to be printed. So I'll do a video that shows kind of like how you're going to fill in the information and then the paper weights and size that we're going to recommend. And I've actually even found a company that has pre-formatted paper that you can print on and then just tear it in half, because these are half sheets. They're 5.5 by 8.5 or 5 by 8 or whatever the size is for the half sheet. That'll be a series. I'm going to do a series of videos. I think there's going to be like maybe 4 shorter videos, a couple of minutes in length, that'll go through just kind of the overall program, who the people is that we should be marketing to, and then also, you know, how to print it and those kinds of things, the services provided and that kind of stuff. So it's meant to just kind of be an overview of this is how the program should run, and then I'll upload the templated document that you guys can fill out the information directly with, like your Adobe, and then just print it locally, or you can upload it to Printing for Less if you want and order it from them, or you can get it at like a FedEx, Kinko's, or a Staples or something like that. But there's just some paper requirements that I think that everybody should follow. So it's I printed out one here locally on this paper, and it's really nice. It comes out in a nice little cardstock, and it's going to be good for what you need. So did anybody have any comments on the flyer that we sent out?
No, I like it.
Okay. Was there anything missing that do you think? Anybody? No?
No, I didn't see anything that would need to be put in there. I think it's got everything on it.
Okay. Does everybody really understand what the program is? And I mean, is everybody looking forward to doing this? Or I know Stephanie, you are, because you're already doing it and you're already billing hours for it. Imani Naveen or Vince, did you guys have any other questions on the program before we move on?
No, we're okay with it. We're going to try it sometime in the beginning of the year.
Okay, great. And Vince, I know this is all kind of new for you, so we'll watch the videos, and then if you got questions, just let me know. Okay, well, I'm just going to open it up, and you know, we're missing about half the people on the call today, so I'll just open it up and open it for anything with marketing or anything else, any questions that you guys have, any ideas, any new ideas that you have, anything that we're not moving forward fast enough for you.
Greg, do we have any videos or anything for training for end-of-life care? Like, not hospice, but just like a hospice support kind of thing? Well, okay, let me explain what happened. Last week we had a terminal lung cancer client.
Mm-hmm.
He was on hospice. But we had our caregivers in there, and towards the end, we had our caregivers there 24/7.
Yeah.
Well, the hospice, the night that he passed away, the hospice nurse actually left at 8:30 that night and didn't come back. And he passed away at 2 o'clock in the morning, and my caregiver was the one that was there with him and the family. And I'm just kind of looking... What I'm looking to do is have a group of caregivers that I have that are specially trained to handle those types of situations, not necessarily do any of the nursing care or anything like that, but just so that they have some extra knowledge on how to handle the family, just kind of like a backup support system. But I'm looking to figure out how to get them that training.
Yeah. We don't have anything like that. However, that's a really good idea for developing. You can, there's a company that we can get videos through that we can get discounts on.
Okay.
Let me see if they have an end of life series. Yeah, because you know that's. I mean, it's a. You've got to have the right person. And usually, like when we do our interviewing and stuff, that's one of the things that you want to really highlight for your caregivers is, you know, have you worked with hospice before, and do you have any experience, and you know, if you have worked with hospice, have you been there when a client's passed away and that kind of stuff? And, you know, hospice is kind of nice because when the client does die, then the caregiver only needs to call the hospice agency and they take care of everything else. And what our caregivers would usually do with a hospice client that's died or even with a client that a non-hospice client. Sometimes clients pass away in their sleep or you'll have to call the EMT.
Right.
And when the EMT comes out when a client has died, when they leave, it's a horrible situation because they have the breathing tubes and stuff, and they'll leave the client right there with the tubes and everything just hanging out, and then you know, it's like, okay, well, the family's going to be on the way over, so then what do you do? So what our caregivers would do, and again, we didn't train them to do this. We talked to them about whether or not they knew how to do it. But they would, you know, take the tube out of their mouth, and they would usually when somebody dies, they have a bowel movement. So they'll clean that up and just kind of make the person presentable. Because if the family does come into the home, that they don't want the last image to be of their soiled mom with tubes hanging out of their mouth. I mean, that is not the image that we want them to have. So so that's, you know, that's the way that we always handled it with clients that had passed away.
I have a question, Greg, with caregivers. I mean, if there's going to be any kind of, autopsy work, or, I mean, should caregivers be touching any other, you know, medical devices or like tubes or breathing tubes or endotracheal tubes or anything like that? If
they don't do autopsies when a client has been on hospice. Because
not just hospice, but when we talk about other clients that would pass away through other, illnesses or diseases, whatever. But is that a practice? And I just need to get educated. Is that a practice that caregivers should be touching or removing or manipulating?
Yeah. Here's the thing. When a client has died, it's usually not like from something that's unknown, right? So basically, most of the time, the doctors will actually just pronounce them dead over the phone, because if it's a situation where when they have seen a doctor within a certain period of time, and the person has kind of known that they're going to be passing away, then at that point, the doctors a lot of times will just pronounce them over the phone, and they don't even come out to see them, and they don't really do autopsies and stuff. If it's a client that is unexpected, you know, and your caregivers are going to call 911, paramedics are actually going to take that person. Does that make sense? They're not going to leave them there. They'll actually take that person to the hospital.
They might be DNR. If they're DNR and they're not going to call 911, or paramedics aren't going to show up on the scene if they're not
Well, if they're a DNR, you still call 911 always. The only difference is that when the paramedics show up, the caregivers hand the DNR to the paramedics. And so, you know, when you set up your clients, part of that is, do you have a DNR? And if they do have a DNR, a copy of that DNR needs to be in the client, the white client binder, so that when the paramedics walk in, you hand them the caregiver hands them the DNR, and then the paramedics make the decision as to whether or not that client needs to be resuscitated and not your caregiver. And so in those situations, they will actually take that client to the hospital, and so then you don't have to really worry about it. But in a hospice situation, the client is most likely, or you know, it's expected that they're going to pass, and so that when they do die, you actually don't call paramedics, you call hospice. And the hospice nurse is the one that handles everything else.
Right, unless the hospice nurse is already there.
Unless the hospice nurse is already there, right, then they're there, so you don't have to call them.
Right.
I don't see any videos that they have for handling that, because that's really more of a hospice thing. So, you know, a thing that you might do, this would actually be not only good for your caregivers, but also good for marketing, is find a local hospice company. And it can either be a home-based hospice, which would be the best, or it could be associated with a hospital. And you can work out a deal where you have their hospice nurse provide hospice training to your caregivers. Because, you know, hospice has volunteers.
Right.
And a large majority of their workers are volunteer. And so you can actually, a lot of times they'll provide that training for free to your caregivers of your agency. So say, for example, what's the name of a big hospice that you guys have there in Ohio?
Well, the company that I partner with, BioQuest, is Home Health and Hospice. So,
okay. So you can partner with hospice or you can ask them, you know, do you guys have any kind of a training program for non-medical personnel for hospice? If they don't, then they don't. So then, you know, you can still connect with, you know, another hospice company, or you can connect with a hospital or whatever it is, and see if you can build a strategic alliance to say, you know, we want to do these team, hospice teams or whatever. And then what you do from there is do the training program, have your caregivers go through it. Now these people are, you know, certified hospice caregivers or whatever, you know, we can think of a name for it. But then you turn that into a marketing piece. And so what you do then is then you go to other hospice companies and you can tell them, look, we have a training program that we go through, and we handpick caregivers to provide hospice training or to provide hospice care, end-of-life care for your patients and that kind of stuff. So it's certainly a great program to do locally, especially if you can connect or build that relationship.
Right. Well, that's kind of the direction I'm going in, is having certain caregivers that are trained in different aspects. Like I've got three different things: the care as needed program, the welcome home program, and then this hospice support team. So what I want to have is dedicated caregivers that, you know, when these situations come up, I know who I can call, and, you know, there's their team of caregivers for it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm kind of trying to figure out just exactly how to implement that. So
yeah, I mean it's pretty easy to do. It's just a matter of finding a source that will help you with the training program. I mean, we used to bring in physical therapy, and have our caregivers trained on, like, PT, ROM exercises and stuff. And it was really meant towards just building those relationships and having kind of like a dual training program that then they knew that, oh, this person has the caregivers that kind of know this stuff. I mean, we kind of let it go after a while just because we weren't getting, you know, the referrals that we had needed out of that. But it's certainly, you know, if you get the right person to do it, then you can do it. And because your PT people and stuff, they will also, like if you have a caregiver that needs to be trained for transferring and stuff, I mean, they'll come in and do on-site training. And maybe you have to pay for that. But if you have, like, a program set up, you know, you can certainly do that. One of our big goals for the next year, actually, is going to be building out a caregiver training online training program. It's a very big project, so it's not something that's going to be coming anytime soon. But we've been talking about it for a while in the background, we'll be doing videos and tests and assessments and all of that kind of stuff that your caregivers will then go in and take these training classes, and then they will come back to your office. And you'll do assessments and stuff for them. So that's a big goal for us to do. And certainly part of that can be this hospice training piece of it. So it's definitely a really, really excellent idea. But I think if you want something that you want to do immediately, then you need to get in contact with a local hospice company.
Okay. All right.
So there's the long version.
Okay.
Okay. Awesome. Does anybody else have any questions on that whole end of life scenario and working with hospice and caregivers?
No, I have a question, Greg.
Yeah.
Regarding the do not resuscitate form, the GNR form.
Yes.
Because I have quite few clients, which is what we do is we take them only to doctor's appointments and social events. So we just pick them up, you know, at the door. They are ready to go, and we just pick them up and take them to doctor's appointment and stuff. So in that case, we still do have to know about the DNR form and where is it at in case if something happened when we drop them off back to their home or picking them up from their home, or this is not necessary at that because we're only driving them up. And,
I would say, well, it should be a part of your assessment anyway, just whether or not, you know, do you have a DNR? And if you look at the new care plans that we just sent out, the updated care plans, that's one of the questions that's right at the top. It says, do you have a DNR? And it's a yes or no. And if yes, do we have a copy for the file? So my guess is that if you're doing more companionship, where you're just taking the clients out to, like, the hair salon, doctor's appointments, and those kinds of things, 99% of those people, my guess would be that they don't actually have a DNR. So a DNR, everybody knows what a DNR is, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so the thing about the DNR, though, is that it has to be, it's not just something where they can write down on a piece of paper that says, you know, do not resuscitate. I mean, it's an actual form that they get from their doctor. And it's a medical form. They fill it out, and then the doctor, you know, signs off on it, and whatever it is that needs to happen. So, if they have a DNR, they're going to know that they have a DNR. And if they're not sure, then they don't have one, because it's you know, it's death planning, and people are, and if they, you know, if they ask you, they say, well, you know, I don't have one, but do I need one? Should I get one? You know, then that's where you go, you know, that's something that you would really want to discuss with your doctor and just have them do it that way. Now, there is another book out there called The Five Wishes. And The Five Wishes, has everybody heard of The Five Wishes?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so The Five Wishes book, then, part of that is the DNR incorporation. So that's something that that you may want to do. And the thing about, you know, that for agencies, the Five Wish book, you know, I think you have to pay for them, so we've never really pushed them. But I think if clients just do like a one-on-one, like if they just request it, then I think they're free. But I'm not 100% sure on that.
Okay.
So I don't know if that answered your question. So just let me take it just one step further. So if your client does have a DNR, and you take them to like a beauty salon,
my question, Greg, is I should have this form with me or with the patient or with my client at all times then, because I don't go inside the house.
Yeah.
So I just pick them up at the door. So.
Right. So if they do have the DNR, then yeah, they need to have it on them.
In case if something happened while my caregiver with them outside the house.
Yeah, and so what you could just recommend to them is just say, you know, if you have a DNR, just keep it in your purse or something like that. Yeah, so that the caregivers will know that they have one. If a client has a DNR and the paramedics show up and they can't find it, then the DNR doesn't exist. Even if they have one, if the caregiver is not able to present it to the paramedics either in the home or out on the street, the DNR does not exist. They will not acknowledge somebody just saying, well, this person has a DNR.
We're going to go ahead and resuscitate them right away anyway.
Exactly.
Exactly, yeah. Thank
you,
Greg.
Good question, Naveen.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions or ideas on marketing? Ima, did your guys' sales guy get started yet?
Yes, Greg, we're having kind of unusual situation with a new guy. Ima is answering a phone for the business, so he is in outside
the
office
now. Okay, no
worries. You know, Greg, we started as he wanted to be an independent contractor, and definitely we agreed on that because that way we're not going to be putting up about $4,000 out of our pocket because it's going to be kind of steep for us.
Yeah.
And he was so excited, and we decided he's going to be doing it that way, and I gave him, you know, all the marketing materials I had, and I helped him with a lot of information, but he... not responding, Greg. You know, he's not talking. He's not saying anything. When we text him or we call him, he just say, "Oh, I will contact you Monday after I'm done with the work, and I'll give you all the mileage I had and all the information. Where did I go and what did I do?" But we don't hear back from him. So my question is: he supposed to at least have some kind of communication at least once a week, or he's not supposed to because he's an IC? We're not supposed to call him, or how do I handle the situation now, Greg?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing about having people as contractors is you don't have any control over what they're doing at all.
I am not.
Yeah, and you can't require them to really do anything. And I mean, that just is what it is. So, you know, it's not costing you anything, right?
It's not costing me. I give him in the beginning a $200 just to start off because he was, you know, complaining he doesn't have that much money and he needed the pay, but he will work hard and he has resources. So I told him if you have the resource and we're going to get the referral, and we agreed and gave him 20% of the referral live in, and he was very happy about this percentage. And then the only thing I gave him, the $200, and I just encouraged him, I told him we're going to pay you the mileage too as well. So So that way, at least we know where he's going from the mileage. But since we agreed on that, Greg, I just nothing at all, and I'm continuing my marketing myself the same. And which is not that much, because managing the client I have, it takes 24 hours sometimes. And I don't know. I'm upset, and but in the same time, I say I'm not supposed to be upset, because he's an IC. He doesn't have to report to me. He doesn't have to call every once in a while. But still, you know, if he needs money, he should be referring clients so he can get paid the percentage he wants. Right, Greg?
Yeah.
Or he's just saying that just to keep, I don't know. Should I take all my materials from him? I give him a lot of brochures and book and pens and stuff. And
well, how long has he been? Go ahead. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Go ahead,
Stephanie. Can I make a comment? I think he's, even though he's an independent contractor, he still has to report to you. I mean, that you shouldn't be responsible for paying mileage and things like that if he's not even going to check in with you and let you know what he's doing. And, you know, just because he's an independent contractor doesn't mean he doesn't have to answer to you.
Right, I mean, Stephanie, that's what I feel. That's what I feel. I feel like you have read my mind. I feel still if he's an IC, still he should make some kind of communication. It's not going to cost him anything, a phone call, a visit to the office, going out to lunch. Even I offered him to go out to lunch one time. Call me whenever you have time during the day. We'll go out to lunch. And everything I say, oh, Naveen, sure, I would love to. I will call you. And he never comes back. He never fulfills what he's telling me. He just say yes for everything I say, and then I don't hear from him again.
Yeah, I think there's something shady with that. I don't know. I mean, that's just my opinion on it. But he still needs to be accountable for what he's doing.
Yeah,
out there marketing for you. And not, you know, maybe he's not giving the best impression of the company either. So, I mean, that would be my concern. If he's out there marketing and you don't know what he's doing, then you may be doubling up your marketing efforts. You may be, you know, even though you're not paying him up front, you're still going to be losing money on it, because if you're doubling up your efforts, and you're wasting your time as well. So, I mean, it didn't sound right to me.
That doesn't sound right.
Yeah, you know, the first thing I would say is that I wouldn't be paying him mileage, because that kind of defeats the whole thing with being an independent contractor. So that's my first concern, because, you know, anybody can just turn in mileage logs and say, well, this is what I did, and you have to pay them. So, but if that's the arrangement that you have with him, then you can't necessarily, you know, back out of that now. So,
he didn't bring any mileage anyway.
Well, not yet.
Since a month ago now.
So it's been a month.
It's been a month now, and I haven't heard him. I haven't seen him, and I got new calendar for the year, and I left him some outside with the receptionist, and Imad called him and told him, John, we left you calendars. Would you like to come pick up some to give him to whoever you're going? He says, yeah, sure, I would love to. I will come. And up until yesterday, he did not come to pick up the calendar, and I am the one. I'm going everywhere now to try to give them as much as I can.
How long ago did he
didn't even come and
pick
up the calendars. I'm trying to make anything so I can bring him to the office. I can communicate with him. And I don't want to just end the relationship and call him and say, just bring me back everything I gave you and that's it. Because maybe there is other things. And I don't know what to do, Greg.
Yeah. You know, I just think that this person is probably not doing anything. Is the feeling that I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you just have to, I mean, if it was me and there was no communication, I would end the relationship and say, you know what, you're not communicating with me. I have no idea whatever you're doing. Therefore, we're just going to cancel our agreement because you're not communicating. But that's me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't. I mean, if he's not. You don't really know what he's doing, but you know. That's the danger with the whole independent contractor thing, because you know if you have a situation where you can't really discipline. And you can't really manage a contractor, because if you do, in the state of California, you automatically default to an employer. And so then you're having issues with not paying taxes and liability, workers' comp, and all of that stuff. So, you know, the better way to have set him up would have just been an outside salesperson, which you don't have to pay an outside salesperson on an hourly basis. They're just outside sales, and they're commission only based. But at least in that situation, you have a thing that says, okay, these are the things that you have to do in order to comply with, you know, the outside sales piece of it. And there's a little bit of stuff that's involved with it. But then you have a little bit more control, because then if he says, well, I don't want to turn in the reports or whatever, you just say, okay, well, then we're just going to terminate the relationship. So, which I guess you can do that with the contractor as well. But you got to be very careful about how you handle it, because you don't want to come across as an employer, which is why I wouldn't have paid the mileage. So, who knows? I don't know. I mean, if he's not responding to you, then maybe you need to look for somebody else.
I think that's what I'm going to be doing, Greg, that's for sure. And I had this, thoughts all the time, but I just give myself a chance. I said I don't want to take a premature decision, or let's wait, let's see, let's maybe there's something here, something there. But now, it's a whole month now, and...
I would just email him and say, you know what, I haven't heard from you. You haven't stopped by, so I can only assume that you're not interested in pursuing, in doing this. So if you could please just return our stuff, I'd appreciate it. If I'm incorrect in my assumption, please let me know.
Mm-hmm.
And just handle it that way and see what he says.
Yeah, because, every time when I call or text or email, say, hi, how are you? Let me see you. Let's get together. Anything of that matter, he say, oh, sure, and just keep going with my conversation. Oh, sure, well, let's meet. I'll come over and I'll explain to you, and I'll pick up this up to give it to the social workers. And he doesn't say he doesn't want to work. He doesn't say
What you need to do, though, is if you say, okay, let's meet, and he says, oh, sure, then you need to say, okay, I'm, how about Wednesday at 12 o'clock? You need to set a date. You need to set a date and a time to say, okay, I'm free Wednesday at 12 o'clock. Will that work? Then if he doesn't show up to that, then
that's it.
Be done with it. Yeah, because, if you're frustrated right now already, it's not going to get any better, has been my experience, unless he is out there and is doing stuff. But like Stephanie said, something sounds very fishy about the whole situation.
Yeah. If he's doing anything out there, Greg, I think he will be calling and giving reports or saying something, or at least I'm getting any phone calls. Put in mind, I don't get any phone calls at all, too.
Yeah, I mean, if I thought he knew all these people and stuff, he was.
Yeah, I thought so. That's what he's been bragging about all the time. We'll see. We'll see.
So that's what I would recommend. I would say, here's a date, and give a date and a time, and get a confirmation that he wants to talk. But yeah, that can be very frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's with our salespeople, if they if they weren't producing right away, then, you know, we would have to let them go. So
exactly.
I mean, because I had an employee who actually was in that situation where I would say, like, okay, you know, got to turn it. Well, I don't want to do that. And I was like, excuse me, you're my employee. You're going to turn in the reports or you're done. And it only took about, you know, a few weeks. I think it was like 6 weeks total. And I'm like, you know what, you're done. You're done. You're out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does that help you? Does that help you?
Yeah, big time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
Thank you, Greg.
You're welcome. I'm sorry about coughing. We've got this thing going on down here. Okay. Does anybody else have any other questions about marketing or non-marketing related issues?
Nope.
Okay. Anybody have any advice for Vince?
No.
When do I jump off the cliff? Yeah, 6 months or 12 months?
No, we don't jump off cliffs.
That's what I'm here. I'm here to talk you down from the ledge, right?
Greg has a lanyard string rope tied to me, I think.
If you ever feel like jumping off a cliff, you should call Ellen in Florida because she is the best person to talk somebody off the ledge. She has
right.
done that for me many times.
You guys, I have a I have a program. I know that we did this in the beginning, but I haven't done it for most of you in a while. Some of the things I've been doing with Vince too has been on the computer. So, you know, if you guys need help with your actual, QuickBooks or HomeTrack or whatever, I can get back directly on the computer with you, and we can walk through your specific file over the computer. So I just wanted to throw that out there. If you needed that kind of support, then we can go through it
on
the computer now.
Yeah, that's been very helpful, especially as you're learning – whether it's a new program, QuickBooks or HomeTrack or the new version of HomeTrack or even the whole new Windows 8 environment, it's nice to see Greg take over the mouse there for a while and kind of walk you through it. So I know for me it's been most helpful. So anybody out there that needs Greg to take over your mouse, it's a neat little program.
Yeah, Greg, I'm going to need you for something like that. What can we... set up an appointment?
Yeah, so on the internet, were you able to log in to the internet yesterday, Iman?
Oh, no, I was not. I'm able to, I did log in, but then it took me to that same page that has the group. So all I can see is the emails.
Okay, did you use the very last link? I sent you a link, and I said, hey, this link worked for me. Because
yeah.
That redirect, I found there was a break in the redirect, and that's why that was happening. So you used that last link, and it would only take you to the group?
Yeah.
Okay.
It took me to that page to log in. I put my email address, my password, and then it took me to the group, to the Google group. What it has the emails.
Okay, and then there was nothing on the top of the screen that showed like a thing for sites or for anything else?
No.
Okay. I'll tell you what, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you a link to my online calendar. Now, normally, you guys, this is on the internet. There's a button on the homepage that says schedule an appointment. What we do is we schedule everybody on this online calendar now, and so you can see like when I'm available or when I have other people booked, like phone calls. I try to put as much in there as I can for phone calls and for if I'm going to be out or something like that. So you can actually go in and pick a time that works the best for you. And then with that, you are able to it'll send me a notification, and so then it'll automatically put it on my calendar, and it'll send you a notification, so it'll automatically put it on your calendar as well. And then you know that, okay, that call is scheduled, and I will call you at that time. And if something changes, then I'll just email you, of course. But Imad, I'm going to send you the link to that little calendar, and then you can, you know, click on my name and just, or you can just click book now and then pick something from the drop-down list there, and just schedule it whenever it's best for you.
Okay.
Does that work? Okay. I'm just trying to find the link here.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Does everybody else understand how that works?
Yep.
Okay. So normally you can go directly on the, directly on the internet site. So Imad, I'm sending you that email right now.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Okay, anything else? Any other help or assistance? Okay. All right, well, if nobody has anything else, then we'll go ahead and wrap it up. And here in the next couple of days, I'll send you guys the link for the videos to go in and watch those online for the new marketing program. And then if you got any questions, of course, you know, let me know. Is everybody log on? I mean, look at the internet. Like, Vince, I know you've been able to do it pretty easy. Stephanie, have you gone on to the new internet that we just launched?
Yeah, I've been in there a lot.
Okay. And then you had a Google Drive issue, right? Did you get that fixed?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah, because when we changed the name of the site, you would have had to put in your new login information. So,
yeah.
So any little issues like that, just let me know, and I can just jump on the computer with you and just go right through it. So,
okay.
Well, I'm going to wrap it up if you guys don't need anything else. And, of course, email me or call me if you have anything.
All right.
All right.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you. Please stand by.